This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Rami Makhlouf.
You don't want to overreact. You know, you want to keep perspective.
Nah, screw that. Hit the music, Robbie. Hit the music. Let's go.
Let's go. Fit the man for a gold jacket.
For those who don't like our people, that's tough. We like them.
Live and local on 670 The Score.
Go Bears.
With you for the next 3 hours, I am Rami Makhlouf, live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Tyler Buterbaugh on the other side of the glass, and he has lined up a jam-packed show for you and me this evening. Cole Kublick, former Auburn center, chief reporter for the SEC Network. He'll be here to talk some draft, tell us what the Bears can look to find in the trenches coming up in the draft and what maybe he saw out at the combine. He'll be here at 6:20. Cassie Carlson from Fox 32, she sat down with new Bears head coach Ben Johnson. She'll sit down with me and tell me what she learned about the Bears' new head coach at 7 o'clock. And Taylor McGregor, Cubs reporter for Marquee, will be here at 7:40 to talk about the Cubs and what she's seen in spring training so far. And you are always welcome at 312-644-6767. If you want to give me a call, should have some time to squeeze in a couple of you before I talk with Cole at 6:20. And then that 6:40 segment is wide open and we can pick the conversation up right there. And I'll always read your text. Again, that number, 312-644-6767. It was about, I want to say about 1:30 today, 1:30 p.m. today, a collective gut punch to the city of Chicago and Bears fans everywhere with the news from Adam Schefter that the Chiefs informed Pro Bowl guard Trey Smith that they will indeed use the franchise tag on him. So now what? Bears fans, 312-644-6767. That's the question I have for you. I mean, it is a little bit more nuanced. I'll get a little bit more detailed with it, but I think that's the thought that ran through every Bears fan's head. Because much like Ben Johnson, you know, a lot of the times, with not just with Bears fans, but within a fan base, there's some disagreement about what maybe you want a team to do or the guy you want a team to go and get in a particular offseason for a particular position. This year, Bears fans all seem to be on the same page. One, we all wanted Ben Johnson, and we got him. And two, it seemed like every single Bears fan I talked to, number one on their Christmas list for this offseason, was to go and get Trey Smith, the all-pro guard from the Kansas City Chiefs. But that ain't happening. He is getting the franchise tag from those Chiefs. So now what? 312-644-6767. If you're not familiar with the franchise tag or what exactly that means, by franchising him, the Chiefs will offer at least, they're obligated to offer at least a one-year contract worth about $23.4 million. And now they have until July 15th to agree to a long-term deal. If no deal is reached by that date, he will play the 2025 season on that franchise tag, which again, $23.4 million. And word was that had he hit the free agent market, he'd be asking for something in that neighborhood. The number I heard was 22, but 22, 23, once you're getting into that many millions of dollars, what are we really talking about here? Now, like I said, every Bears fan wanted this guy. Every Bears fan I talked to or heard from seemed to want this guy to be, you know, suiting up in a Bears uniform next year. Now, maybe, just maybe, and I'm just going to put this out there, I try to look for the silver lining, maybe the Bears dodged a bullet not paying $22 million for a Trey Smith, because you look at his performance last year and he was 13th among guards in pass block win rate. And now he was really good against the run, sixth in run block win rate. He allowed only a sack and a half per next NFL next gen stats, committed only two penalties, and got his first Pro Bowl nod. So last season, at least as far as pass blocking goes, kind of a down year for Trey Smith, and he was kind of middle of the pack, if you believe NFL next gen stats and the fact that he was ranked 13th among guards. But if you go back to his previous three seasons, he finished top four in pass rush win rate. He was second in both pass and run block win rate in 2021 and 2023. So the larger sample size says this guy is good at blocking, whether you're throwing the ball or you're running the ball. But this past year, kind of a down year for him in terms of protecting Patrick Mahomes. But like I said, the larger sample size says he's pretty damn good, and he has the full-hearted endorsement of Patrick Mahomes, of Andy Reid. They do not want to let this guy go. They do not want to let this guy walk, and it makes sense. I heard Spiegel and Holmes talking about this earlier. The Bears are trying to keep Caleb Williams upright so he can learn how to play quarterback in the NFL, and you would think you could lean on Patrick Mahomes a little bit more, being, you know, the superhero that he is, lining up under center every week. But it's hard to be a superhero lying on your back because you're not getting the protection that you need. If anything, they need to shore up their edges and get at least one, if not two, tackles. And they can't really allow that offensive line to decay any more than it has and lose their Pro Bowl left guard in free agency. So it makes sense that the Chiefs are going to do everything they can and everything they have to do to keep that guy in-house, but he's not going to be a Bear now. So now what, Bears fans? 312-644-6767 if you want to get in on the conversation. And to me, it comes down to Trey Smith was going to be a big swing. Like I said, $22, $23 million. Now, the Bears got money. And I don't just mean, like, oh, the McCaskies are rich. I mean the Bears got money as far as the NFL salary cap goes. They have the fourth most salary cap space in the NFL, north of $74 million, according to Over the Cap. So they got money to spend, but going and getting a Trey Smith for somewhere in the neighborhood of $22 to $25 million a year was going to eat up quite a bit of that. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, you can get a Trey Smith and another guy who might come with a hefty price tag. And I'm not saying you can't. I'm of the belief that the NFL salary cap doesn't really exist, that it's not a real thing, that there's always a way around it. And I know when you operate that way, eventually it catches up to you. But there are certain teams that just don't seem to operate under the same rules based on the rosters that I'm looking at, the signings that they make. So I know there is a way to make that happen. But realistically speaking, more than one big swing in one offseason in free agency is a lot to ask for. You don't see that very often for NFL franchises. And Trey Smith was going to be a big swing for the Bears this offseason. So now the question is there anybody else still worth a big swing and spending big-time money on that might hinder you elsewhere in making moves and making additions this offseason? Or do you take more small swings and plug more holes on this roster? 312-644-6767. And I was looking today at the Athletic broke down the top 100 NFL free agents by tiers. And no, don't worry, I'm not going to read off 100 names to you. That's bad radio. But I was just going through the list and looking through tier one, which to me is that's a big swing free agent. Looking through tier one, and I talked about this a little bit last week, there are guys here who, you know, while a lot of Bears fans seem to think like, oh, just get a couple offensive linemen and we got a great head coach, even though we've never seen him be a head coach before, and everything is fixed for this team that lost 12 games last year, 10 in a row, and haven't had a winning season in 5 years. And I don't think it's that easy. I think there are more holes to plug than that. And I even said, I wouldn't mind if they added a wide receiver. And T. Higgins is the number one rated free agent in this list and in the tier one of free agents for the NFL this offseason. And would I be mad if the Bears brought in a T. Higgins? No, I wouldn't. But it's not. That's a lot of money for something that's not at the top of your list of needs. But then you go down through the rest of the tier one, and the number three rated free agent is Ronnie Stanley, the tackle from the Baltimore Ravens. He gave up 35 pressures last year. Now, he only allowed 3 sacks. He was number 12 in pass block win rate, just ahead of Trey Smith. Well, actually, that was among tackles. Trey Smith plays guard, so I'm mistaken there. But 35 pressures, man. And that number that he only allowed 3 sacks, a lot of that has to do with Lamar Jackson, who has as good of escapability, if not better escapability, than anybody in the NFL. And I know Caleb Williams has that escapability. I don't want him to have to put it on display as much as we saw last year. So 35 pressures in one season kind of scares me off Ronnie Stanley and spending big money or taking that big swing there. Milton Williams, a defensive tackle for the Eagles. I was looking at their breakdown of him, and they say he might be the biggest beneficiary of this thin free agency class. He's never topped 5 sacks or 10 QB hits in a season, but somebody's going to pay big money for that guy, and I don't know that I want the Bears to be that team, even though they could use a defensive tackle. That's a position of need. There is one guy that would constitute a big swing that I wouldn't mind seeing the Bears take that big swing at, and that is Josh Sweat, the defensive end, the pass rusher from the Philadelphia Eagles this year. He's going to get big money. He's going to get something in the neighborhood of what Danielle Hunter got last year. He signed a $49 million deal over 2 years. $48 million of that was guaranteed. But this dude is 20. He'll be 28 going into the season. Had 2.5 sacks in the Super Bowl, also forced an interception. He just finished up a 3-year deal. He's only 27 years old, and pass rusher is a huge need for this Bears team. And this Bears team, they don't, this kind of goes back to the conversation I was having last week. They don't just got to plug holes in terms of position. They need to plug one hole that's kind of positionless. And that hole is game changer or difference maker, whatever you want to call it. The type of guy who changes a game in a matter of one play. He either flips the field or takes possession away from the other team or scores a long strike type of touchdown. You need game changers and difference makers on both sides of the ball. And I think this is a guy who brings that. Dangerous pass rusher, athleticism, the long arm, everything, the bag of tricks in terms of his pass rushing capabilities. He's also good against the run. And again, at 27 years old, I don't mind giving something north of $20 million to a Josh Sweat and that be your big swing, even if it hinders you in some other moves that you can make. But short of that, short of Josh Sweat, and by the way, last week I pondered if he was related to Montez Sweat, also of the Chicago Bears. Not. They are not related. They are not brothers, which I kind of thought they were, but I guess they're not. Short of Josh Sweat, though, I'm looking to tier two, where you got, I know some Bears fans might shudder at this because it didn't work the first time around. It's going to be much cheaper this time, and it makes a little bit more sense this time. Khalil Mack is there. I saw Chris Emma sort of ponder that possibility in his piece at 670thescore.com. And if you want offensive linemen, you got him at tier two with Will Fries, formerly of the Colts. Drew Dahlman, that's a name I've heard thrown around. The Falcons center, those are a couple guys that are in that tier two of free agents. Hassan Reddick, Mekhi Becton, when you get down into tier three. If you're not going to get a Josh Sweat, which, again, to me, he's the one tier one big swing type of guy that I see left on the board after Trey Smith was franchise tagged today. If he's not going to be your big swing, I don't mind a bunch of other little swings. And then hopefully you get that difference maker or change maker in the draft. And quite frankly, this isn't a possibility I've heard a lot of people talking about. I've heard people ponder the possibility of trading down. I maybe trade up this year. And I know you want as many swings as you can. I'm really burning that analogy here in this first segment. I know you want as many swings as you can in the draft with as many holes as the Bears do have to fill up. But, and I'll talk about this more with Cole, I guess, coming up at 6:20. I don't know that at number 10 you can get that difference maker, that game changer that I was talking about. From all the mock drafts that I've read, whether we're talking about getting a pass rusher or an offensive lineman at that number 10 pick, it's a lot of you're getting a solid guy. You know, you're getting the third or fourth guy at their respective position, which, fine, that's good, but it's not the game changer and the difference maker that I feel like the Bears need on both lines and just in general on both sides of the football. So if you don't get that big swing game changer difference maker type of guy in free agency, I don't hate the idea of giving up maybe one of those second round picks, package it with your first round pick and move up a few spots to get that type of player. But that's another discussion for another day. The Chiefs tagged Trey Smith. Now what, Bears fans? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Northwest Indian. Get in Sean before the break. Sean, you're on the score. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I'm a little higher on Mekhi Becton than I think most people are, especially after he moved from the Jets to the Eagles and moved to that left guard position. Would you think he'd actually be a benefit for the Bears?
I really like what I saw from him in Philadelphia this year. Obviously, you can't not like what you saw from him in Philadelphia this year. It does scare me the way that his career started and given what the Bears just dealt with the last free agent offensive lineman that they brought in. It took one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL to get that out of him and to be in a program like the Philadelphia Eagles, an organization like the Philadelphia Eagles that had a little bit more going for it in terms of stability and success and draft and develop than what the Bears have shown. Now, this is supposed to be a new era, a new time. Things have changed. We've heard it all, and I hope it's true. But are you bringing Mekhi Becton into as stable a situation and as sure-footed a situation as what he had in Philadelphia to turn his career around? Or does he revert back to Jets form, where he was kind of a bust for the first few years of his career? And that's something the Bears really can't afford at this point. We'll talk about all this and more with Cole Kublick, the former Auburn center, chief reporter for the SEC Network. He'll join me to talk about what he's seeing in the trenches coming up in this NFL draft right here on the Score Evening Show with me, Rami Makhlouf, on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
How about O-line? You're an ex-O-lineman. Do you feel like you know some things maybe that maybe another GM doesn't or have an advantage there?
Yeah, I think anyone that's played a position probably knows, the little details that they can pick up on to evaluate better. If it's offensive lineman and it's, the interior guys and the mental quickness you got to have, you kind of look at the eyes and see how they adjust. Something goes away and then boom, they come back to something coming to them. So you can almost feel that from your own reps that you've taken.
Yeah, sure.
Which is important. But that's why, you rely on all your scouts that have different, expertise in different areas.
Best Bears general manager Ryan Poles talking about his experience as an offensive lineman and how that factors into his evaluation of offensive linemen. And And we're going to talk with Cole Kublik, former Auburn center, chief reporter for the SEC Network here in just a few minutes. When they hired him, and I heard, this guy was a former, he actually was in camp with the Bears, former offensive lineman. I was like, at least we got a guy who knows how to evaluate offensive linemen, right? At least we got that. He played the position at a pretty high level. I know he didn't have great success at the NFL level, but just to make it that far is playing the position at a very high level, and you would think gives you some level of expertise when it comes to evaluating that position. And the track record does not indicate that. So I don't know that I'm buying what Ryan Poles is selling right there about how his experience as a player affects or informs his job as a general manager when it comes to evaluating, drafting, and developing offensive linemen, because we just have not seen it. And, I was talking in the last segment, and your calls are welcome, 312-644-6767, if you want to get in on the conversation. I was asking now with Trey Smith tagged, franchise tag, that is. Now what? Bears fans, you can also text the show. But I was saying in that conversation and my spiel of what the Bears need this offseason, whether it's in free agency or in the draft, that they need game changers and difference makers, guys that in a single play, in a single moment, can change the momentum or flip the field of a football game. And that's real easy to see with like the naked, untrained, for lack of a better word, eye when watching football. When you're talking about skill positions or even pass rushers, guys that are in the trenches on that side of the ball on defense, you know a game wrecker when you see one. They're tackling guys in the backfield or causing sacks. And when we're talking about skill positions, a running back rips off a 40-yard run, or a wide receiver gets behind the defense and scores a long touchdown, or a defensive back gets an interception. You see that stuff, and you obviously feel it immediately, and it's noticeable as soon as it happens. I think, and this is a question I had for Cole Kublik, who I'm hoping joins me here in just a second, chief reporter for the SEC Network. I don't know what necessarily constitutes a game changer or a difference maker when it comes to offensive linemen, because we don't see it. The camera is following the guy with the ball more times than not. That's usually the quarterback or, like I said, one of those skill position guys. When it comes to offensive line, I think that that's probably a little more subtle in terms of the difference that they make or what makes them that game changer or that difference maker. Hey, Tyler, if I could, I want to call for a soundbite that it's on our list that we talked about before the break. The one where Ben Johnson says an offensive line room takes time to gel and they'll identify where to get. Can we hear that cut from Ben Johnson talking about? Go ahead.
I think it's been done before, right? I mean, I think there's a number of teams that did that last year. The Panthers come to mind when they went out in free agency and got a couple top guards and really changed the dynamic of their offense. And you saw them clicking there in the second half of the season once they started to really gel. So there's no question that you can change the dynamic of a room just like that. That particular room, it does take a little bit of time for five guys to come together, especially if you have to deal with the attrition and the injuries, for five guys to be working on the same page. It's when you watch the tape and you come away with, I think I made this statement in my opening press conference, that's an area we have to get better. That doesn't necessarily mean we need five new starters, because all it takes is one individual to blow up a play. And so we're just identifying where we can get a little bit better, and we're going to continue to raise that floor, and we'll find the right mix of 5 to 8, 9, 10 guys.
So when he says one individual and talking about offensive linemen and how the Bears patch up what they got going there, I think he means like that guy raises the level of the play of everyone around him. But somebody who would know much better what Ben Johnson is talking about, what makes an offensive lineman a difference maker, a game changer, former Auburn center, chief reporter for the SEC Network, Cole Kublick joins me now on the Score Hotline, which is presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Download the Circus Sports app today. Cole, how are you this evening, my man?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. Sorry I was a little bit late.
Oh, no worries. No worries. I was saying before I brought you on that, yeah, the Bears have needs at certain positions, and offensive line is certainly one of them. But I think one need that they really have, and really on both sides of the ball, is they need a game changer and a difference maker, a guy who flips the momentum or flips the field of a football game in one play. And that's real easy to spot when we're talking about quarterbacks or you know, skill position players or even pass rushers. What makes an offensive lineman a game changer or a difference maker? Because the camera doesn't follow them around, Cole, and we don't often hear of offensive linemen referred to in that way.
No, but I think that if there were a phrase that we would reference them to, it would be tone setter. That's what I would kind of use.
Okay.
For somebody who just, they bring a different attitude, they bring a different demeanor, and even without saying anything, that becomes expected from the guys next to you. I think offensive line's a position that probably less than any other on the field needs to be challenged vocally. I don't think that some of the expectations need to be vocalized by the guys around you. You see what other guys are doing, and because it's right next to one another, because most of it needs to be done together, it needs to be done in sync and harmony, you don't really have to have a lot of other guys saying, hey, man, this is how this is supposed to look. So when I reference a tone setter, that's somebody that's going to go out there and play the game the way it needs to be played. And I think automatically the expectation everybody else on that offensive line is going to be raised to be that. And even though, I mean, listen, you can throw Penei Sewell out there. God only gave a couple of individuals in history the ability that he has. So not everybody's going to be able to play exactly the way he does and do the things he does, but it's the effort and the demeanor and the attitude that you can bring on a regular basis because he's there doing it with you.
Do you see any of those guys that might slip to the Bears at 10 in the draft, those types of tone setters that you're talking about, Cole?
Well, I think it would probably be a little bit of a stretch because it would be a guard, but Tyler Booker's that guy. And to be honest with you, I don't think it would be a stretch. I don't think it would be a bad selection. If you're looking for somebody who comes in from a leadership perspective that is going to bring everything that you want, the intangibles, everything that you want, you're not going to have any off-the-field issues. The expectation is going to be there, the accountability from everybody else around him. Excuse me. I think Tyler Booker's that guy. Now, I think you have some talent at the tackle position in this draft, if that were the direction that you wanted to go. I think Josh Simmons, Will Campbell, Armon Membu, Kelvin Banks, all have a ton of ability. Even Cam Williams, who had his struggles this year at times, has all the ability. But if you were looking for that attitude and that demeanor at that position, Will Campbell, Armon Membu would be the guys that I would look to. I think they just bring it in a little bit of a different way.
I did want to ask you about those two guys. Let me go back to Tyler Booker real quick, offensive guard from Alabama, for those who don't know. And like you said, in a lot of people's eyes, you know, when you look at these mock drafts and the experts and where they have guys going, he's not a guy that a lot of folks have going at number 10, and you obviously see it in him. What are the knocks on him that folks are saying would make that a stretch, in your opinion?
I think the only thing is that he's a guard. That's it. And you know, it took until the last couple of years where we saw a couple of teams like Atlanta and San Diego really step up and say, "Hey, we're going to pay guards big time money because we know that importance is there." I think the importance of the center and guard position have increased with the quick passing game, the RPO game. The interior pass rusher, obviously it all started with Aaron Donald a couple of years ago, where guys realized if they can attack quarterbacks from there, they can have as much of an impact as a lot of the edge rushers can have. And even though you might not be getting that quarterback to the ground, you can remove passing windows, you can bat balls down, you can force him off platform just to be uncomfortable, and those can be counted as wins a lot of times. So I think solidifying what's right in front of your quarterback is almost just as important as it is off the edge, and we know since the blind side, how important that has been or perceived to have been. So I think Tyler Booker's the best offensive lineman in this draft. I think he's one of the better football players overall in this draft. I just think because it's a guard and people are going to look at 10th overall and say, can you really spend that kind of draft equity on that position there? And to me, if you're looking at it on your board and you're saying, this is the best guy across those five positions that we have ranked here, I don't know why you don't take him. If that's your number one need, I don't care if it's one or 101. You take the best guy that gives you the best chance to go win football games. You've already made the investment on Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, your receiving core. I go out and get the best guy I can that I think is going to make the guys around him better sooner. And for me, it's Tyler Booker. I don't think there's a real knock on his game. He's got physicality. He can finish. He doesn't struggle in pass pro. He can move bodies in the run game. He's a good puller. He's got great body control for somebody. He played 2 years ago at over 350. He played this year closer to 330. Wanted to get in better shape, get a little bit leaner, more flexible. So he's a guy also that is going to take things off the field personally. If he needs to improve a portion of his game, he'll go do it on his own. If he needs to improve his diet, his flexibility, he's going to do that on his own. He doesn't have to be told to go do those things. So I think as much of the individual person that you're drafting as you are the football player, if I was a Bears fan, I would have no issue about it. If my team was sitting there, I'm a Steelers fan. My dad grew up in Pittsburgh. If the Steelers were sitting there at 10, I wouldn't be bothered one iota the fact that they were taking a guard if that guard. I said the same thing about Quentin Nelson. Hell, I said Quentin Nelson should go 3. He was the third best player in that draft, I thought. So if that's where you are and that's your need and you think he's the best guy on your board, I don't really care where it is.
Talking with Cole Kublik, former Auburn center, chief reporter for the SEC Network here on the Score Evening Show. Another guy you mentioned, Will Campbell, the offensive tackle from LSU. I know that's a guy a lot of Bears fans are hoping slips to 10. Is there any chance of that? And, man, you would love to put a guy at left tackle and just not worry about it along with your quarterback for the next 10 years. Is he that type of left tackle that you just throw him over there and you know you got nothing to worry about on that side of the line?
100%. I would push all my chips in on Will Campbell, and I would have no issue with it. I think that technically, fundamentally, he is super solid. You'll probably hear some people talk about the arm length, and I mean, we heard it with Jonah Williams. We've heard it with other guys. It comes down for me, guys. Do you get people blocked? And at the end of the day, Will Campbell got people blocked. And you go back and look at who he faced just this past year. I'm not even talking about over the course of his entire career with Harold Perkins and some of the guys that he saw in practice every day. But he ran the gauntlet of SEC edge rushers. When you're talking about guys that are going to be off the board in the first and second round this year with what LSU had to go out there and face. I mean, it was absolutely brutal. Started early in the season, South Carolina, Kyle Kennard, Dylan Stewart. Had a couple slip-ups a little bit later in that game, but I mean, you're talking about two probable first-round picks coming off the edge. You know, he had Ole Miss, who's going to have Princely Umanilayan off the board pretty early. Landon Jackson blew up the combine today at Arkansas. Nick Scorton at Texas A&M. And then you got Oklahoma's got a slew of edge rushers last year. Florida had one. I mean, It was literally every week for this kid. And not only did he hold his own, but he excelled on a very regular basis. I think he's about as fluid as any tackle in this draft. And he has all that mean and nasty that we talked about before. So he's a young man that I'd love to have in my building as a human and as a football player.
Any chance he slips to 10, or you think he's going long before that?
I think there's a chance that he gets there because as we know how this usually goes, there are certain runs on certain positions. I'll say this. I think if you get to 5 and there's not a tackle taken, you got a good chance. But because I think the tackle position is very light at the top, and it's not like some other positions in this draft, like let's running back per se. I think Ashton Jeanty is different than everybody. I think Omarion Hampton, might be different than a lot of guys. But the value you're going to get in the 3rd and 4th round at running back, you can take that chance. So I think if you get to 5 or 6 and he's still there, you got a good chance.
We're hearing a lot about the depth of both, in the trenches, both offensive and defensive line. Obviously, the Bears can only take one guy at number 10. Do you think that it's deep enough that they can find 2 starters on the offensive line between that number 10 pick and then 2 picks in the 2nd round? Or is that too much to ask?
No, I think not. You'd have to take the tackle first. I'll say that.
Okay.
I don't know if you're going to get a starter at tackle, say middle of the 2nd or late 2nd. Guard, maybe. Yeah, I think it's a little bit more feasible. There are even people that say Will Campbell could potentially move down to guard and possibly be better there. I don't think so because I think he can play tackle and I think he offers more valuable to your team there. But I do think that there's some versatility at the guard position a little bit later that you could potentially find, say, around the 2nd round. Tate Ratledge from Georgia, I think, has a chance to be there. I like Jalen Rivers at Miami a lot. The Willie Lampkin kid from North Carolina that kind of blew up the Senior Bowl, I know he's smaller. I know the stature is not what people like, but if you needed a center, I think the kid can flat out play. He's a 3-time state championship wrestler in high school. He knows leverage and angles and hand usage as good as any center I've seen in a long time. I think he can just flat out play. So maybe a Miles Frazier from LSU would be there. He's a guy that I think could come in and maybe give you reps year 1. So I do think that at guard, you would have a chance to find that guy. But I'm going to tell you, at tackle, if you're looking for a starter this year, I know everything I just said about Tyler Booker, you probably take the tackle first because after Simmons, Campbell, Membu, Banks, I think there's a pretty significant drop off. I think Connerly, Williams, and maybe one more could come in and possibly like Emory Jones came on really late last year, but he also had a lot of struggles the first half of the season. So, and I've actually watched the Carson Vinson kid at Alabama A&M, ton of athletic ability. Don't know if he's ready to be a starter day 1. So, I just don't see a starter definitely at tackle in the middle of the 2nd round.
That is
once that run on tackle goes, they're coming off the board really quick. Like it's going to be tackle, 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 tackle right away.
Didn't mean to step on you there, Cole, twice. Former Auburn Center, chief reporter for the SEC Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Cole Kublik. Also check out the Cube Show over there on YouTube. And my guest for the last few minutes here on the Score Evening Show. Cole, great stuff, man. Really appreciate the time and the insight.
Yeah, hey, I appreciate you guys having me. Look forward to doing it again soon.
Anytime. And he joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Tone Center is probably a better term when I'm talking about what you're looking for from an offensive lineman. Where with skill positions, quarterbacks, you're looking for game changers or playmakers, difference makers. Tone Center with the offensive line. And that's, I think, what Ben Johnson was talking about in the clip we played right before we brought Cole on, where he said one guy can change that whole room. And that's that type of tone setter who kind of lets everybody else know, okay, this is how we're playing this position and how we're approaching our opponent on a week-to-week basis. Still room for your calls. Got an open segment coming up next, 312-644-6767. If you want to talk about what the Bears do now that Trey Smith has been franchise tagged, do you still take a big swing or more smaller swings? Also, we might have some light being shined on where the Bears will be playing football soon. We'll talk about that coming up next. Rami Makhlouf, Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
With you until 9 o'clock here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Taylor McGregor of Marquee Sports, our Cubs sideline reporter, will be here at 7:45. And speaking of the Cubs, they take on the Rangers tomorrow in spring training action from Arizona. Coverage begins at 1:55, first pitch at 2:05, and Cubs spring training games on The Score, sponsored by Sloan, the leader in smart water and commercial restroom solutions. That's tomorrow, taking on the Rangers, starting at 1:55 with first pitch at 2:05. We'll talk with Cassie Carlson, Fox 32 sports anchor and Bears reporter, coming up at 7 o'clock. She had a sit-down with Bears' new head coach, Ben Johnson, who is at the Combine right now, as most of the NFL world is. But it seems like, and I could be mistaken here, the NFL is very good at staying relevant and keeping things relevant. Nobody does it like the NFL in the world of sports, but it seems like the Combine is becoming less and less relevant. And I don't know really how much of a spectator event it is. I think if anything, as far as your average NFL fan goes, the most entertaining thing as a fan coming out of the NFL Combine is a lot of rumors, because you got all the like I said, the whole NFL world in one place at one time, all the front offices and coaches and agents. So people are talking, and people are talking about people talking. And so it generates a lot of buzz about what may or may not happen here coming up in the offseason with free agency just a couple weeks away, starting on March 12th. But beyond that, I don't know how relevant or useful an exercise the NFL scouting combine is going to stay in the coming years. How much stock do you put in the combine? If you want to get in on the show, shoot me a text, 312-644-6767. Because more and more of these top prospects, and Abdul Carter, the latest, the Penn State edge rusher, opting out of workouts. Now he's dealing with a foot injury. We'll do his Penn State pro day coming up in a couple of months. But a lot of the top prospects, last year I think 11 out of the top 12 draft picks opted not to participate in the on-field events and workouts. And this has kind of been a trend since 2021, when the combine was canceled for COVID, and it didn't really hurt a lot of guys' draft stock. And guys looked at that and were like, wait a minute, do I really need to be doing this thing? Now, I was listening to my boy Bart Winkler on the Infinity Sports Network. You catch him weeknights at 10 right here on The Score. I was listening to him a couple nights ago, and he was really downplaying the usefulness of the draft. And maybe I just caught a short portion of his show, and I'm taking it out of context. He almost made it seem like it's completely useless for every player that shows up there. And I don't think that's necessarily the case. It's not just a hype event. But if you're a guy who's already at the top of the draft in everybody's evaluation, both inside and outside of the industry, both from front offices and mock drafters throughout the world, really, what do you have to gain by going through all these drills and medical evaluation and cognition tests? If you know you're going to be the first or the second or the fifth, sixth, tenth pick, if you know you're going to be in the top 10, the only thing that can happen through you going through all these evaluations and drills and tests is you hurt your stock. So I think we're going to see the combine, like I said, it's not a useless exercise, but I think the combine more and more is going to become an event for guys who are in the late first or second or third round, who don't come in with that buzz, who maybe come in from smaller programs where not as many people see them. But man, when you're talking about top half of the first round and the schools that those guys are coming from, and And the data, not just the tape, I mean, just the tape alone, you see every football play that these guys have played in the modern era, going back to high school and maybe even before that, because everything is recorded and is on video now. If you really want to see who a guy is, you can get video on them going back many, many years as in terms of their football career, relatively speaking, to their football career. But not just that, the data that they can collect. We know how fast guys are running. Like, what do we need a 40 time for when we literally know how we turn on our TV every week and some guy will rip off a 40-yard touchdown and the commentators of the next segment are like, he hit 22.7 miles per hour on that touchdown run. We're all like, wow, that's pretty crazy. What do we need a 40 for when we know how fast these guys are actually running on the field with pads on and everything else? Now, if you're a guy who's playing at a smaller school or, you know, was not on TV every week or doesn't have that a program that doesn't have the type of resources that collects and distributes that type of data, then, yeah, the draft can be useful for you. But for a lot of these guys, it can really only hurt their stock. So I understand why more and more guys are opting not to work out and take part in this stuff. And I don't know what that means for the NFL and the relevance of the draft in terms of a vehicle for buzz, the way that it is right now. I don't know if it loses any of that, but its usefulness and some of the hype with the star power not being there, with the guys who are at the top of the draft opting not to work out, that's becoming less and less relevant, I think. And I think we'll continue to see it trend in that direction. We'll talk NFL draft, Bears, Ben Johnson with Cassie Carlson, Fox 32 sports anchor, had a chance to sit down with the Bears' new head coach. She'll join me, Rami Makhlouf, coming up next right here on The Score Evening Show.